First Peter chapter 2, the first 10 verses are just glorious verses. I, for the sake of having to have a title and a message, I've titled the word spiritual sacrifices. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think that is so key to everything in this book, to everybody that professes any type of walk. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, supernatural, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, that's you and I, if so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he's precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. That's us. That's incredible. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter speaks in the first chapter of his word here, 1 Peter 1:7, of the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. We can look at it. He said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. And it's a precious thing. Have you ever heard of the Pilgrim's Progress? Or of those in this book? Trial of your faith? That's all. It's a theme. Is the trial of your faith. So it's glorious that we have this cornerstone, that we have this text. Bill Monroe, he sang a song that I like. They call him the father of bluegrass music. And he said, the road is rocky, but it won't be rocky long. Amen. Mm-hmm. It won't be rocky long. And that's a pretty good sermon. The road is rocky, but it won't be rocky long. But a lot of people equate naturally rough with a spiritual walk. And I'm guilty of that at times. But this isn't so. Because millions walk a naturally rough road all over the world, you say, with little to no knowledge of God or spirituality. So let's speak in terms of our spiritual journey. And that is what was founded in the Lord. We're told in 1 Peter 2:5, our text, to offer up what? The title of our word, title of this message, spiritual sacrifices. Okay? You know why? Because we can't please God in the flesh. We can't even pray as we ought. I had to attend a funeral yesterday, and it was an hour of, I asked Melissa, I said, what'd you get? She said, all I said for an hour was that she was such a good person. I never heard anybody say she was a good person while she was living. But she dies, and now she's this great person. And I had told Melissa, God spoke to me in that funeral, and something came to my mind that you find over in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 15. And it's called, it's in a couple, there are the people that stand over the sea, had seven angels, and then you had those who'd received the victory over the beast. And it says they sing, verse 3 and verse 4, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And this is the song that they sang, or that they do sing. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Melissa said, that's all I want spoken in my funeral, is the song of Moses. I think that's pretty apropos. That's a pretty good deal. I think I have down, it'll probably be news to him, but I'm going to have my deacon, Travis Warren, that's who I want to speak in my funeral. And I think at the VA, they give you 15 minutes. He won't have to do long. Want him and the boy and the girl, him and the boy and the girl. He is the boy. I want the boy and the girl to sing, and I want him to speak. And if he doesn't want to say anything but the song of Moses, that'll be great. It won't make any difference. That's the way I want the thing, okay? Because I want to let dead bury the dead. I want this to be about the living, okay? I'm gone. I'm not really gone. Some of you will figure that out, but that's later. Okay, you know. They won't be saying Boris. They'll be saying Smokey. Moopaw. Okay, that's another story. The song of Moses. But you see how contrary that is, even in preaching? So who's the one? It's God that's lifted up. You see? But who's in the Spirit? Who has the mind of the Lord? He says, a spiritual house. You and I. He says, a holy priesthood. Able to offer spiritual sacrifices. That's what he says. Created to offer spiritual sacrifices. And the Bible speaks of it. I love it. It says, some better thing. And boy, after an hour of a funeral extolling how good this woman was, I'm looking for some better thing. You see, in this walk I've had of over 40 years in the Lord, I've encountered many gods. And they're usually fashioned by either a denomination or a man or some man preaching such. You have the God of this church, and you got the God of that church, and then you got the God of this man, or you've got the God of that man. I used to always hear, mainly from women, well, my Lord tells me, well, okay, yeah, right, okay. And that her Lord probably did, you see. And this God, he allows this, this God, he allows this, and this God, he allows that, and well, with this God, you can't do this, and with this God, you can't do that, and well, with this God, you dress this way, and no, with God, you dress this way, and it's never ending. And the message that I told you, I was down between two messages this morning, and the other message actually had a lot to do with that. It seems like in a lot of religion today, it's almost like being paroled. You get this freedom. Jesus said that what his burden was light and his yoke was easy. And yet, then you go join a church and it's like getting out of prison, but now you got a parole officer. Man, am I ever getting off parole? When's this thing going to end? And yet we have Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it seemed even in this very book, the vent of each writer is so apparent. The writers of the book. I'm not talking about the text as the Word of God. I'm talking about the way that they and he put it in the book. Paul speaking by permission. Okay. No small dispute between Peter and Paul and Barnabas. They were arguing. I read a great quote about arguing, about debate and arguing this morning from Socrates. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't remember exactly the words. Okay. And then you have John. He's the disciple that Jesus loved. And then what'd they argue about? The disciples. The apostles. We say, oh, these churches should be. They were arguing. Who's going to sit at his right hand? And this all to the same God. Not to mention the counterfeits, angels of light, ministers of righteousness. Used to be someone in the, you could pick any church in town and go to church and hear the gospel. And now we have the internet. Worldwide choices. You can get on this piece of plastic right now and worship anywhere in the world. China, Europe, South America, Australia, worldwide. Go to church around the world. I can't find one. I surf them. Sunday mornings, I go, let me see if I can find somebody preaching the words I can hear. Because in days of old, you hear me say, the only thing I like better than preaching is getting preached to. But I can't find anybody to get preached to by, you see. Because I'm a little bit particular about what I hear. And they're all right, of course. All the people in each assembly in agreement to whatever dogma being preached. Well, this is what we believe, and this is what we believe, and this is what we believe. Now, let me say, don't expect truth just because some guy opens a King James Bible. I know a preacher up in Burnet, and he opens his King James Bible, and he thinks the one you're listening to right now is a lost heretic. Okay. There's a glorious little verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. And we spoke of it a while ago. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I like that. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see? And I especially like it because there were no preachers that night. No choir. No church building. Just that word right there, grace. Here, eat this. Grace. You see, the Lord and a sinner, if so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. I asked a man a few weeks ago, He was 19 years old, and I said, "You go to church Sunday? You go to church yesterday? I saw him on a Monday." He said, "Yes," and not Catholic either, which is unusual in our part of the world. And so I asked, "Do you know the Lord? Have you ever met the Lord?" He said, I don't know what that means. I don't know what you mean." I asked, "Well, what did the pastor preach on?" He said, "Oh, same thing, you know, how you doing, et cetera. You know, how's everybody doing?" That's what he got. Doesn't know what it means to meet the Lord. You see, our text to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Let me ask you, is it a spiritual sacrifice to attend church? To tithe? To dress or even speak in a certain way? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? Or is that some of that parole? Remember, you cannot please God in the flesh. I got on short sleeves. Well, sort of short. They come down to my elbows. I've been in churches. They wouldn't allow that. He can't possibly be spiritual. Missing about a foot of sleeve on his arm. He said spiritual sacrifice. I heard, what was it, a week or two ago? You remember? Well, it had to be longer than that, but in this message a month or so ago. And I'm listening to this Baptist preacher. And he said, "I hope God kills me if he ever catches me in a pair of shorts." You heard him, right? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? Only wearing a suit and tie to church? I wonder what kind of suit and tie. You think Jesus had an Armani? That's straining at gnats. You hear me? That's straining at gnats. I'm not talking about indecency. It's straining at gnats. Read Romans chapter 8, my favorite chapter, preacher's favorite chapter. Romans chapter 8. We've read it many times, 8 through verse 10, Romans 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Amen. "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Not last night, it would have been Saturday morning, which would have been Friday night. At 2:30 in the morning, I'm awake and I'm laying in bed. And it just hits me. It comes to me of Christ became my sin. That thing came to me. He became my sin. He became me. That's a pretty, that I become him. I've preached on that many times. But he came to me again. And then you see in Romans, go back to chapter 4 in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. "What shall we say then that Abraham our fathers pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." And then in verse 4 he says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." There's that debt. Are you in debt? Most I know in religion are in debt. And they go back to our text. "If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." You see that? In verse 5 and verse 6, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That worketh not. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's what came to me. He became my sin. I didn't do anything. I did my part sinning. He became me. He became my sin. Me personally. It wasn't just like he threw this blanket and says, okay, all these people. Me personally. I preached years and years ago. It doesn't matter, and I don't mean this in a crass way, but it doesn't matter for me if he died for you. It doesn't matter for me if he became your sin. Because I'll still go to hell. It matters to me if he became my sin. You see. Free at last in Christ Jesus. Free at last. And I meet all these people in debt. And then finally he says there in Romans chapter 4, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. The Universalist says, many Baptists and Methodists say, well, that's everybody. No. No. If it was everybody, they'd be this way. They'd taste that God is gracious, you see. God, Christ Jesus, lively stones, royal priesthood, new creatures in Christ. Is it so very hard to see who possesses such a spirit, who truly fears God, who truly knows God, who is the called according to his purpose? I meet all sorts of religious folks all day, but very few who possess without a doubt this Holy Spirit. Now, a great promise, and it's in verse 6 of our text back over in 1 Peter. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. A lot of people confounded. A lot of people. I meet them all the day long. But not the ones that believe on him. Was Jesus confounded? No. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And then finally in verse 9 of our text, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have I changed over the years? More so spiritually than even in this flesh. I'm telling you the truth. A spiritual growth in Christ. I've been through denominations, doctrines of men, Arminianism, Calvinism, and so many more that I wouldn't even have time to name them all. And there were things early on in this walk that I could or couldn't do that I can or can't do now. Just like growth in the flesh. A child to a man. A child to an adolescent. To a man. Milk to meat. A babe to a full grown 40 years of manhood. The Bible says in Hebrews, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You ever read it? Let's look. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. That's Hebrews 6. But look in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, the end of the chapter there. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I've seen that many times. I've observed that thing. For everyone that uses, look at it, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. In the Bible, that's 40 years old. Of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. How do you get that exercise? Spiritual sacrifices. To discern both good and evil. Now you see, most who are yet on milk, years after first hearing, never gone anywhere. Never gone anywhere. Like I told, I texted Brian a week before last, and some words that I heard. He sent me a revivalist preacher, and I texted, I heard that. I told you last week, I heard that, and I heard that, and I heard that, and I heard that. Let me say that my walk, just as Pilgrim's, was a steady growth toward that day. Still is. Some of the things I sent out this week that some of you read, they exemplify that, you see. This very message is a growth. Because I leave with you what happens when growth stops. Die. Amen. You die. Spiritual sacrifices. If so be, you've tasted the grace of God.